ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम Canto 11, Chapter 26, entitled The Aila Geet, Text number 21, 22 and 23. So we'll recite text 21st. Tvang maus rudhiras nayu medo majjasthi saunhatau veenmutra puye ramatam कृमीणां कियदन्तरम्। त्वं मास रुधिरस्नायु मेदो मज्जास्ति संहतौ विण्मूत्र पूये रमतां कृमीणां कियदन्तरम्। त्वं मास रुधिरस्नायु मेदो मज्जास्थि संहतौ विण्मूत्र पूये रमतां कृमीणां कियदन्तरम्। त्वं मास रुधिरस्नायु मेदो त्वं मांस रुधिरस्नायु मेदो मज्जास्ति संहतौ विण्मूत्र पूये रमतां यदनन्तरम्। त्वं मांस रुधिरस्नायु मेदो मज्जास्ति संहतौ विण्मूत्र पूये रमतां कृमीणां कियदन्तरम्। माताजिस् त्वं मांस रुधिरस्नायु मेदो मज्जास्थि संहतौ विण्मूत्र पूये रमतां कृमीणां कियदन्तरम्। Tvang, out of skin. Mausa, flesh. Rudhira, blood. Snayu, muscle. Medaha, fat. Majja, marrow. Asthi, and bone. Sauhatav, composed. Vit, of stool. Mutra, urine. Puye, and pus. रमताम एंजॉय कृमीणाम compared to the worms? Kiyat, how much? Antaram, difference. Translation. What difference is there between ordinary worms and persons who try to enjoy this material body composed of skin, flesh, blood, muscle, fat, marrow, bone, stool, urine and pus? So there is no purport to this, so we'll read 22nd and 23rd. Athapi nopasajjeta strishu straineshu charthavit vishayendriya sanyogan manakshubhyati nanyatha. Translation. Yet even one who theoretically understands the actual nature of the body should never associate with women or with men attached to women. After all, the contact of the senses with their objects inevitably agitates the mind. Text 23. Adrushtad ashrutad bhavan nabhava upajayate asamprayunjataha pranan shamyati stimitam manaha. Because the mind is not disturbed by that which is neither seen nor heard, the mind of a person who restricts the material senses will automatically be checked in its material activities and become pacified. So here we have purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Purport. It may be argued that even while closing one's eyes, while dreaming, or while living in a solitary place, one may remember or contemplate sense gratification. Such an experience, however, is due to previous sense gratification that one repeatedly saw and heard about. When one restricts the senses from their sense objects, especially from intimate contact with women, the mind's material propensity will slacken, and like a fire without fuel, eventually die. So today we have this purport. Today we have this discussion by Aila. Aila is Ila's son, that is Pururava, and who is expressing his realizations for the welfare of everybody, of all people, so that the mistakes that he has done hopefully will not be repeated, because as they say that experience is the best teacher, but only fool learns from experience. And some fools don't even learn from experience. So the best intelligence is to hear the realizations of one who has gone through it, so that we don't have to go on through all that trouble, and we get to the point as quickly as possible. So 21st verse, this particular verse, Tvang Maasa, it's a detailed description of the material body which all of us possess and which is easily verifiable. So what is that body is made up of? Skin, flesh, blood, muscle, fat, marrow. The reason this description is given is so that we can detach ourselves more from the identification of this body. Gradually. Because every conditioned soul is thinking that I am this particular body which I am trapped in, and then tries to exploit that body and try to exploit other bodies as much as possible. So to refrain himself or dissuade himself from such propensity, the abominable nature of material body is graphically described. So therefore we see that krumi vidbhasma nishthantam kvedam tuchham kalevaram kvatvadiya ratirbharya kvayam atma navashari. Why are you attracted to the body of the opposite sex? Because ultimately that body is going to become krumi, vid or bhasma. Ultimately. Krumi, vid, bhasma. Krumi means insects. Vid means the excreta. And bhasma means ash. So if the body is thrown away to be eaten by vultures, then it becomes stool. Otherwise, if it is buried, then the worms eat the body, eat the flesh. And if it is burnt, the cremated, then it becomes ash. So if the material elements of this body are going to have this future, then it's better not to invest in such future. So then what should we invest in? That is the question that will be answered. Even Rukmini Devi says to Lord Krishna in Dashama Skanda, very similar verse, she says that which woman who is only that woman who is not fortunate enough to taste the lotus feet of Krishna will desire somebody other than Krishna as her husband. Other than Krishna means not having spiritual body, but having this body made up of tvang, mas, rudira, snayu. I think that is the ultimate thing that I can get. Like that. So, but that fortunate one who has tasted Krishna's lotus feet will desire only Krishna as her husband. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just before taking his sannyas, he is trying to convince Vishnu Priya Devi, who has already anticipated somehow that her husband Gauranga Mahaprabhu is going to take sannyas. So she is confronting Gauranga Mahaprabhu, saying that, "Oh, you think that I will become your bondage? Do you think that I am that illusory energy which will keep you bound? And therefore, are you taking sannyas?" In that case, she says that better I cannot see you traveling bare feet like a sannyasi. So better I commit suicide and you stay home, like that she is saying. So then Gauranga Mahaprabhu pacifies her, saying that after a great fortune we have obtained this human form of life, and in this human form of life we can actually make solution of the problem of material body, having material body. Of course we know that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Supreme Lord himself, and his consort Vishnu Priya both have Satchidananda Ghana body, completely spiritual body, but just to instruct the conditioned souls, he says that it's not good to take birth from abominable substances, like that he says, unmentionable substances. It's not good to take birth from unmentionable substances. So therefore, one has to make this choice. And he instructs Vishnu Priya that you serve Krishna nicely, and although he himself is Krishna, he says that you serve Krishna nicely and then this human life will be fulfilled, like that. And of course, Vishnu Priya Devi still considers him as her, because he is her eternal husband, so she still is not convinced. So then Gauranga Mahaprabhu has to say that, okay, whenever you remember me, I will just appear to you. That's the promise he gives. But the point here is that Lord Gauranga is instructing that instead of being attached to this body, which is made up of all the filthy substances, why not you make the best use of bad bargain? Prabhupada used to many times say, best use of bad bargain. What is that best use of bad bargain? Rishabhdev says, Nayam deho, deha bhajam nirloke, kashtan kaman arahate vidbujamye, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam, shuddhet yasmat, brahma saukyam tvanantam. So he's saying that this human body has some special function. Other types of sense gratification can be had in other types of bodies, like bodies of dogs and hogs and camels and asses. But this particular human body is of a very great significance. And if we utilize that, we should search for what is special in this human body. And then try to go for it. Okay? Go for that special thing. Like for example, if you go to, let's say, Agra, and you want to purchase something for eating, so what will you purchase there? Yeah, you will purchase petha. You want to go there and search for vada pav because it's available in Mumbai also. On every tapri it is available. So we'll go for petha, right? So if you go to Satara, what will you purchase? Kandi peda, yeah. Okay. So if you go to Nasik, what will you purchase? Grapes or chivda, whatever. So like that, so there is every particular, so this human body is like a particular place which is special for self-realization. And other types are available everywhere else, but so that's not a proper, the efficient, the optimum usage of this body. So therefore Krishna says in 11th canto, at the end, he says that most intelligent and clever are those who obtain me in exchange of offering their material bodies. The most intelligent and most clever among all are those who obtain me, the Satchidananda Ghana, the personification of sweetness, Krishna, Gopinath, in exchange of what? In exchange of offering this material body in service of Krishna. So Vishwanathacharya Thakur mentions there that, you know, if you if somebody is getting one gold coin in exchange of some kodi, some coin of some other metal, not valuable, then we will call him clever. Oh, this person is so clever. He invested so little and he got so much. Then he says, then what to speak of a person who invests this temporary material body in service of Krishna and gets permanent life in spiritual world. So how much clever he must be. Like that. So therefore, the point of discussing the abominable nature of this material body is not to get depressed and think that, is this what I'm trapped in? But the point is how to get out and how to use it, how to make the best use of bad bargain. Just like Prabhupada was one time Guru Krupa Swami Maharaj was sharing this, that once Prabhupada told him that if you observe closely, then the beauty in the opposite gender is not really beautiful. It's just, even Puru Rava is mentioning that. It's just a mental superimposition on the facts that, oh, this must be beautiful, like that. It's just like mirage, you know. There is a feeling that there is water somewhere, but then you go there, it's not there, then you think that, oh, if I travel a little more, I will find that water. But actually that illusion always remains there, no matter how many kilometers you walk, if you are in a desert. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the waiting room at the airport. And one sannyasi disciple was sitting next to him. And one woman just crossed them. And this sannyasi disciple was looking like this, and you know, Prabhupada was sitting next to him, and Prabhupada was looking at him. Also, he was shocked when he saw that Prabhupada was looking at him. So Prabhupada said, "Beautiful, isn't she?" So this disciple, he thought that, should I say yes or no? Like, you know, yes, I am doomed. No, I am doomed. Like, you know. He was in a catch-22 situation, like, you know. So he didn't answer anything. So Prabhupada said, look, if the creation is so beautiful, then how beautiful must be the creator? Like, then he should be attracted to the creator who is the source of all beauty. So like that. So one time one devotee who was holding some picture in his hand, and Prabhupada just saw what is he meditating upon. So he saw that it was a picture of some girl. So Prabhupada said, what is this? So he said, oh, after coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, She was my girlfriend, and I was attracted to her. And now what should I do? She left me like that. And Prabhupada looked at the photo, and he was explaining that she was so beautiful and all. So Prabhupada said, she looks like hog in front of heavenly damsels. And then he added, and heavenly damsels look like hog in front of gopis of Vrindavan. So so you better be attracted to Krishna and the spiritual world rather than getting attracted to the beauty of this material world. So this is mainly the point that verse 21 is making. So let's talk about verse 22. So 22nd verse talks about yet even one who is theoretically, one who has understood this fact, still the one who has understood the actual nature of material body, whether a body of a man or body of a woman, he should never associate with women or man attached to a woman. Or to a Mataji, the instruction will be, she should never be associate with men, of course, other than her husband or any other women who are promiscuous. So, after all, the contact of the senses with the objects inevitably agitates the mind. So we have this example where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was hesitating to ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was saying, I want to say something, shall I say it? So Mahaprabhu said, yeah, you go on, say it. If it is good, I will do it. If it is not, I will just reject it. So no harm in presenting. So he said that, you know, Maharaj, the king Pratap Rudra, he wants to meet you. So Mahaprabhu was taken aback, and he says that, Sarvabhauma, what are you saying? He is a king. Virakta sannyasi amar raja darshan. Stri darshana saman vishera bhakshana. He says that, I am a virakta sannyasi, I am a renunciant. For me to take darshan, to intimately associate with pound and shilling and soldiers and treasury people will be like willingly drinking poison. And then he says that Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukhasya Param Param Jigimishor Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayinam Athayoshitamcha Hahanta Hanta Vishabhakshana Topi Asadhu. So he says that it's not just for renunciant, but anyone who wants to cross over this material world and go back home, back to Godhead, for him to closely associate with women, that means to associate with them with exploitative mentality, or to closely associate intimately with rich people or kingly order, it's like willingly drinking poison, because then it will shake his determination of going back home, back to Godhead. That's the downside of it. So then he says that if you bring this topic again, I will go to Alalnath. I will just leave all of you and go to Alalnath. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he closes his ears and says, Vishnu, Vishnu, and he leaves. And then Ramananda Rai, the very close associate of Lord Chaitanya, he tries to persuade Lord Chaitanya to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Of course, we know that Maharaj Pratap Rudra is very great, sincere devotee. But again, just like in Marathi, we have this proverb, "Leki bole sune lage." It means that when the mother-in-law wants to teach something to daughter-in-law, she doesn't directly do that, because that relationship has not yet so closely established. The daughter-in-law is just married. So she will instruct her daughter that, oh, next time you roll chapatis, you know, you fold them and then roll it so that there will be nice layers. So but that she won't directly tell her to daughter-in-law. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya will instruct his own associates. We don't know how conditioned souls will take it. Or whether they deserve to take it directly from Lord Chaitanya. So Ramananda Rai requests him that one time show your lotus feet to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, what are you saying, Ramananda Rai? I am a sannyasi. I should not be doing such things. And then Ramananda Rai says, kata kata papira kariyacho uddhar. So many sinful people like Jagai Madhai you have delivered. And this Raja is the great devotee of Jagannath Sevak. He is your devotee and Jagannath's devotee. Why are you not allowing him to see your lotus feet? So then Mahaprabhu says, yes, you're right, he is a devotee, I know that. But Purna Dugdha Kumbhe Yeche Sura Bindu Pat. Just like a jar is filled with milk. If somebody puts a drop of wine into it, will you accept it? Of course, some of us will say, yes, we can. What's the problem? It's just one drop of wine. Like that. It doesn't... even the milk itself sometimes... some things ferment. So then don't make it into alcohol or something. but the standard is no. One cannot accept. because it gets homogeneous. It's not something that you can again put your hand and take it out, like that. So therefore, one who has come to Krishna consciousness should be very careful not to loosely associate with opposite sex, or even loosely associate with people in general who haven't awakened their desire, the dormant desire to go back home, back to Godhead. So one caution, it does not mean at all that one should minimize others or look down upon others or judge others that or have a kind of holier than thou attitude towards outsiders. But it just means that one should protect himself. Right? In order to protect others, one has to protect himself. Right? In Navy they tell, if lifeguards, first make sure that you are okay before you try to save others. because if you are drowning, you cannot help others. Maybe you will catch him and he will also drown and you will also drown. So that's the thing here. And we may undergo some problems in the beginning because we haven't developed that mature way of dealing with people, of not offending them while maintaining respectful distance. One of our brahmacharis, he was telling me that his sister, she was complaining to him about her mother-in-law, who was not in Krishna consciousness. So she is saying, Bhaiya, my mother-in-law says that, you are wearing tilak, do you think you are better than us? Or, you are not accepting the things usually that you cook and then you offer and then only you eat. So you don't take other things, so are you thinking that you are better than us or like that? So then he told her that no, it may be that it's your own false ego. Maybe you are thinking that under the name of taking to devotional service, you don't want to listen to your mother-in-law maybe or your in-laws, so that you will save yourself from some tasks or some responsibilities. So he was discussing with me, is that the only reason? So then I thought about it and actually speaking, I then retrospected about my own life when I just came to Krishna consciousness. I also developed that immediate distance from all my friends in my college or in my my colleagues in my office, like that. So that's actually speaking a defense mechanism, natural defense mechanism. One should not think that, how come suddenly I'm trying to act in such an abnormal way, per se. But that's natural in the beginning, according to my personal opinion, that there is some defense system because we have associated them with so closely that we want to protect our newly found Krishna consciousness. So it's not wrong to do that, like, you know. But then slowly, slowly, we should also become their well-wisher also, and try to, you know, at least to those who are open, we try to present what we have got, like, you know, to help them, benefit them. But instead of intimately mingling with them in general parties and general functions that for some social reasons we may have to condescend to their requests. But then we have to make sure that we don't fall into, we have to decide some standard for ourselves, individual standard, and then associate with them and do the needful. So then the third verse, so we just discussed 21st and 22nd verse. 23rd verse is talking about that adrishtad ashrutad bhavad na bhava upajayate. So if we want, if we keep ourselves distant from those triggers which previously urged us to do something, if I stay aloof from those triggers which previously urged me to engage in some sinful acts or like that, then better I avoid those triggers altogether. Because if it is not seen or heard, then it doesn't affect my mind. That's a trick here. Right? I don't desire things which I haven't seen or heard of. Or I don't daydream the things or thoughts which are not, which I haven't experienced before. So we can see here, this verse is talking about external preparation of the mind. Every devotee has to train his mind. So here we are talking about external preparation of the mind. External preparation, and there is also internal preparation of the mind. So to advance in Krishna consciousness, we need external preparation. External preparation is the etiquettes that we have to maintain in dealing with opposite gender, or in, we have to have a proper respect. We understand the person we are dealing with is a holy person, is a sacred. We have to appreciate the sacred existence. That's the internal part of it. But from external part, it is mentioned that keep distance from opposite gender, not mix promiscuously. And here we have the example of Chota Haridas, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch? I know that name, I just forgot. Anyone remembers? anyway. No, not Maharashtra. That's in Varanasi. Here we have Bhagwan Acharya. Yes, Guruji. Thank you so much. Bhagwan Acharya, he invites Mahaprabhu at his house, and he tells Chota Haridas to bring some rice from Madhavi Devi, who is also very senior exalted Vaishnavi. And Chota Haridas goes to beg rice, and he talks a little longer than it was required. So then when Mahaprabhu eats rice, and then he asks, who went there to beg rice? So Bhagwan Acharya says that it is Chota Haridas. He said, okay. And then he went back to his room, Gambira, and he told Govinda that from tomorrow, don't let Chota Haridas come here. So everybody is so, Chota Haridas also didn't understand. So actually he also might have committed very innocently. Because he also didn't understand, because that's not on his mind also. What mistake did I do? Like, you know. So 3 days he was also fasting. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami and other devotees, they go to him and they ask him, ask Lord Chaitanya, what mistake did he do? Like, why is he fasting for last 3 days? So then Mahaprabhu was very heavy, and he says that Durvara Indriya Kare Vishaya Grahana Dharavi Prakruti Hare Munerapi Man. He says that Prabhu kahe vairagi kare prakriti sambhashan, dekhite no paro ami tahara vadan. He says that if a renunciate is intimately talking with woman, I can't see his face. And he says, Durvara indriya kare vishaya grahan, daravi prakriti hare munerapi mat. So he says that the senses are so restless that they always want to get to sense objects in exploitative mood. And even the sages' senses are so deceptive that they will also, unless one has reached that Mahabhagavat stage where one sees every man and woman as Krishna's energy, it's important that we maintain a respectful distance. And then he says that Kshudra Jiva Markata Vairagya Kariya. He says that Indriya Charaya Bule Sanyasa Kariya. And then seeing his avesh, all devotees become so shocked that it is mentioned that Dekhi Trasa Upajila Sarva Bhakta Gane Sapnehi Chhadiya Sabe Stri Sambhashane. Even in the dreams, they would not talk with women. Like, you know. So of course, here we have to understand that it's not that a particular form of man or woman will cause the agitation. It's our own misfortune that I have trapped myself into this exploitative consciousness, that actually after seeing a woman, I should try to see her as mother, or at least try to see the sacred existence. And at more advanced level, I should be trying to see her as Krishna Dasi, that means maid servant of Krishna. But my misfortune is that's not happening. So till the time that's not happening, only I am theoretically understanding it, but it has not become a part of my system. Till that time, this external care has to be taken. And then Krishna goes on to speak of internal preparation. This was external preparation, how not let senses go haywire. And follow proper etiquettes. But now we'll come to the internal preparation of the mind, which will really help us to overcome this problem from its roots. So it's like some patient goes to a doctor. He will give him some symptomatic treatment first, right? Like he will give him some medicine to reduce his fever, etc. But then he will also treat the root cause of that disease, whether it is cholera or typhoid or smallpox. We don't have smallpox nowadays. Chickenpox or whatever. So then he will go to the roots. So what is that root treatment? So one is internal preparation of the mind, that the more we develop humble service attitude, the more we give up the controller or enjoyer mentality. And just like Prabhupada says that if one is not a criminal, he doesn't fear the police, right? You know, police may be there around him, but he can walk very fearlessly. So one has to develop this humble service attitude. One time Upendra Prabhu, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and he mentioned that, Prabhupada, this Mr. Lust is tormenting me a lot. So then Prabhupada told him, pray to Krishna, pray to Guru and Krishna. If Krishna is merciful, then he writes like that, Mr. Lust or Mr. Lust's father will not be able to do anything to you. Just like, to me it sounded like a literal translation from Hindi. Ki wo kya uska baap bhi kuch nahi kar payega. So it's literal translation into English. The Mr. Lust or its father will not be able to do any harm to us. So one time Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he shares this. He says that Prabhupada was walking towards his car from a temple, and devotees were offering obeisances to him. Then, before getting into car, Prabhupada asked Kamal Krishna Maharaj, "Do you know why are they offering obeisances to me?" So he said, "No, I have no idea." No, he didn't say that. He said that he couldn't think of an answer. Maybe you are spiritual master of them. Maybe you are pure devotee. Like, so Prabhupada said, "They are offering obeisances to me because I have no lust," he says. And then he entered the vehicle and Tamal Krishna Maharaj sat on the front seat. And they reached their destination. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj got down and opened the door for Srila Prabhupada to come out. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said that, "Actually it's not that I don't have lust, but I don't have time." He said, "I don't have time for this because I'm too busy." Somebody asked Jayanand Goswami that, "How do you advance in Krishna consciousness?" He says, "I don't have time," he says, "to discuss all these things because I'm too busy serving Prabhupada and serving the mission." So that's one thing, having humble service attitude and praying to Krishna. And how do we pray to Krishna? Prabhupada says in one of the Bhagavad Gita purport, I think it is Apichet Sudura Charo verse, I need to find. Mostly it's, or next verse, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma verse. So one of the verse Prabhupada purport, he says that if a devotee sticks to this principle of chanting Hare Krishna constantly, he will be saved from all, even accidental fall downs, he says. If one develops this, sticks to this principle of chanting Hare Krishna constantly, then Krishna will save him even from accidental fall downs. And then there is one example where Maya Devi herself came to allure, entice Haridas Thakur. And it is mentioned there that Krishne Nama Vishtamana Sada Haridas Aranye Rodita Haila Stri Bhava Prakash. Although she was testing him with her gestures, the gestures which would bewilder even the minds of Brahma and others. But Haridas Thakur was not budged from the determination. Why? Because he had the positive object to be absorbed in. Krishne Nama Avishta Mana Sada Haridas. He was always absorbed in chanting Krishna's holy names. And because of that absorption, Aranye Rudita Haila Stri Bhava Prakash. All those gestures were like crying in the forest. So if you go and cry in the forest, nobody will listen to you or like that. So, and then Prabhupada mentions there that if we stick to this principle of chanting Hare Krishna, either as Japa or in Harinam Sankirtan, then by mercy of Haridas Thakur, we will be protected from the distractions. By mercy of Haridas Thakur, we will be protected from distractions. So slowly, slowly, one has to gain this taste in holy name, and as one's taste in holy name and taste in starting with holy name and then spreading to deity worship, Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, and what is the last one? Dham Seva. So everything begins with holy name. So just like we say that first Naam, then Roop, then Guna, then Leela. So like that. So Prabhupada, he mentions in this purport to Vishaya Vini Vartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate. The attraction or the attraction towards the distraction can be only be overcome if we gain taste, real taste in chanting holy name. So Prabhupada mentions, one who has tasted the beauty of Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness. One who has tasted the beauty of Krishna in the course of his advancement in devotional service will not be attached to the dead material things. Lose all his taste for dead material things, which we see today. Twang, mas, rudira, snayu. These are all dead material things. So one will lose taste for them. If we have taste in, if we develop slowly, the taste in holy name. And so the whole point here of this particular verse is, we try to avoid triggers of material impulses. Stop the senses from going to distractions and positively give them the right object, that is the Krishnaized objects like holy name, sadhu sangha, nama kirtan, bhagavata shravan, and so on. So today, just briefly, we just discussed today the abominable nature of material body, how Rukmini Devi is telling Krishna, the girl who has not tasted the lotus feet of Krishna will desire somebody else as husband, like, you know, like that. Of course, as long as one is in householder life, one has to fulfill one's responsibility towards one's spouse. And at the same time, make sure that how the whole family is moving towards Krishna. Or how the Krishna is the center of the household life. Like that. And then we discussed how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructed by his own example, how one has to be very careful in dealing with non-devotees. Not become judgmental or not become disrespectful towards them, but understanding our own conditioning, one has to protect oneself. Take the protective measures. And then finally, we discussed that how we have to internally, externally prepare by following the Vaishnava proper etiquettes, and then internally prepare ourselves by seeing all women, actually all souls, as Krishna's energy, and seeing ourselves as humble servant, serving Krishna and serving Krishna's energies, and then pray to Krishna for that kind of, so that that knowledge that we have received could be empowered to engage it in practice. And finally, and most importantly, Prabhupada says, if we make this, if we stick to the principle of constantly chanting Hare Krishna, khaite shuite yatha tatha namalai, kala desha niyama nahi sarva siddhi hoy, then we can hope for getting this higher taste, and then we won't be attracted to dead material things. Hare Krishna. So if there is any one question, I will try to answer. We have 4 minutes.
Thank you for a nice class. Just wanted to understand the point which you told about disrupting one's interaction with the material world abruptly. That point you were making. So just in that situation, as you were telling that it is better to, when abruptly your connection gets cut from the material world, that is good for a devotee. But in my experience, what I have seen, when such connection is been disrupted, people become emotionally unstable, even in Krishna consciousness. Unless and until the relationship is formed with the devotees and the process, till that time, such disruption create emotional turmoil in people's life. And even after some time, such devotees, they leave Krishna consciousness. So, just would like to understand how you are making that point.
Yeah. So, actually the devotees leave Krishna consciousness not because the emotional turmoil, because that turmoil is always there. Like, as long as we have material body, we have to deal with the turmoil. Mm-hmm. So the devotees leave because, as I have heard from senior devotees, is because of misfortune of not developing taste in Krishna conscious activities, and not developing Vaishnava relationships, and not developing the proper attitude towards holy name, towards the proper dealing with holy name and proper dealing with Vaishnavas. That's the prime cause of. Others could be a subsidiary, auxiliary causes, but the main cause is this. Because turmoil, this emotions we will have to face, even in devotional service, like that. So, yes, we are not promoting the abrupt disruption. I'm saying it's a natural phenomenon. It's not that we are saying that everyone should do like this. But if we are saying that, if I am saying that, if it happens to somebody, then it's not unnatural. That's the point. Whether it is good or bad, that was not the point of my discussion. the thing is, he will go through, just like it's very natural, just like if you change your location. Let's say you are staying here, suddenly you go to Kashmir or something. Then for a few days, your body will take some time to settle down. And this, therefore I also mentioned that this abrupt disconnection is not permanent. It's just like a patient is put in a quarantine for some time. Like, you know, he's not mixing with others immediately after this. But then he recovers a little, you know, and then he becomes mature enough, like, you know, or cured enough, let's say, to again make that connection. So we do require connection with material world, no doubt, for preaching and even for, as you mentioned, there is emotional exchange with our parents, with our colleagues and with our friends. We are not just dumping them. So, of course. So what I mentioned is that particular phase, which may be of very short time, let's say for some it is maybe 1 year or some it may be more, that's not unnatural. That's because it's a natural defense mechanism. Just like if you go to a place like Kashmir, immediately you won't get accustomed or adapted to that climate very, very soon. So you will take some decisions to make yourself comfortable. That's the whole point. Or make sure that you don't fall sick. Maybe you'll take a rest for the whole day and not mix with so many people. Like, so that's so from that point of view, it was mentioned. It's not the not that, you know. Just like, therefore, I also mentioned that one has to be respectful, and as one gains proper momentum in devotional service, as you were also mentioning, that gaining that Vaishnava relationships, and so then one has the power and capacity even to deal with those who are not in devotional service positively and respectfully and maturely, more maturely. So that was my point. So I hope that somehow, to some extent, answers. That was the point. Any other question? No, it's 9:20 already. So thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nirantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kutai Gaur Premanande.